You know, as I was praising and worshiping God, I just, and just the messages that have come through today, I love that here at Wella, there's such a legacy of family, you know, talking about that we're all adopted into the family of God. And I love how we see here at Wella that there's such a legacy of parents bringing their children up in the ways of the Lord and that they're serving the Lord, you know, like Kieran, oh my goodness, what can you not play? I loved hearing you play the keys this morning. I really enjoyed it. And just love seeing our kids and families just serving God and just using their gifts. And yeah, we're all a family, aren't we? It's good to be part of a family in a community, in this church, and part of the family of God. So love it, love it. This morning I'm talking about input and output. Input and output. What are we putting into ourselves? When we think about what we put into ourselves, that will show what will come out of ourselves, right? So we want to think about what are we putting into ourselves that's going to have productivity and fruitfulness and a good output. And so this morning, you know, this concept of we choose our future by what we put into ourselves. We choose our future. The decisions that we make each day determine our future. What your input is correlates to your output, your effectiveness. And we have been given the ability to choose, to decide, a free will, to choose putting good things into our lives, our heart and our mind and our body. And we also have the freedom to choose unhealthy or negative or destruction input for our lives, heart, mind and body. So this morning we are going to look at choosing wisely what we are putting into ourselves so that we can live a fruitful present and future. We choose our future by what we put into ourselves. Our measure of productivity, fruitfulness and effectiveness in our lives is directly correlated to what comes out of us. So my prayer for you people today is that God will speak to you by his Holy Spirit into the areas of your life where you can be affirmed and validated in those things that you are already putting into yourself that is good, and an area that God would have you change or stop or tweak. He will bring transformation to your heart, your life, so that you bear more fruit, so that you will have more joy, so that you will have more abundance, so that you will enjoy the blessings of God that God has for you. Church, let's pray. Father God, I thank you for who you are. I thank you for your very nature, that you are fruitful. Oh God, I thank you that for each person here today, you have a word for them, Father God. You have something for them, Father God. I thank you that you're working in and through each heart that is here today, that is going to be transformed, Father God, by the power of your Holy Spirit. And so, Father, I pray for your word as it goes forth, that is as it's spoken, Lord, that it would be received today, Father God, that we would receive your word, that we would respond to your word. Oh God, that we would just take hold of your word. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. You know, I didn't say this before at the beginning, but I just want to really honour Pastor Michelle here this morning, and it's great to have a mum here too. She has such a sweet spirit, and when we were at conference, I just loved her playfulness and her joyfulness, and just her, she's just so fun to be around. And I love the fact that she's really, you know, she's stepped out in faith in so many ways to actually fulfill this position. And I just want to honour you for what you're doing and how you're stepping out in faith. And we love you to bits. We're so grateful for you. And of course, Pastor Barry, you know, I know he's been sending some things that he's been doing while he's on this trip in Africa. And I don't want to steal his, you know, thunder from what he has to share. But he's got incredible things that he's going to be sharing when he comes back. And I know he's going to be on fire. He's already on fire, but I think he's going to go that next level when he comes back. So you have great campus pastors, great campus pastors. Okay. So God said at the very beginning in his relationship with Adam in Genesis 1:28, be fruitful and multiply. Then God blessed them, and God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth." God's very nature, as I pray this morning, is to be fruitful and multiply. We see in his creation that things bear fruit and they multiply. And so his design for us is that we would do the same. That in this verse 128 in Genesis, that he blessed us and to be fruitful and to multiply. So being fruitful here means productive. The word multiply means to increase in number. Fill the earth means to replenish or refill. And subdue means to control and to have dominion over, means to have authority over. So God created both men and women in his image. He created both male and female in his image and then blessed them. This scripture was written before the first male and female had been created. God prophesied this. God spoke this. And so even though there wasn't a first male or female formed yet, God spoke these words, his creative future of both male and female made in his image, and his blessing upon us to be fruitful and to multiply. So Richard and I have got the multiplication part down pat. We've got four children. We did that really well. In fact, just before we came to church this morning, literally just before, 2 minutes before we got into the car this morning, Richard opened up the linen cupboard and found 8 brand new baby bunnies that I don't know when they were born. I don't know how they came to be in existence, but we're really good at multiplying things. team parties. We're having team parties from November onwards, and I know my Connect leaders are coming over to have a pool party, and I'm really looking forward to that. And if you want to take a bunny with you, please do. That would be very helpful. So we're really good at multiplying. And you know, fruitfulness in our lives has really come from just seeking the Lord with direction and seeking the Lord with decisions that we make, significant decisions, even seeking the Lord with small decisions as well, and out of a heart towards God, out of a heart for him and wanting to do his will, that we have seen much fruit. As we have invested into people's lives and prayed for people and journeyed with people, that we have seen their lives turned around. And so I want you guys to really just take away from today that God wants you to live a blessed and fruitful life. He wants you to live a blessed and fruitful life. And when we can get some concepts and practical principles in our lives that God has given us, we are going to just flourish and thrive and just be so full of his joy. So King Solomon, when I was researching this message and putting the scriptures together, there are a few verses from Proverbs that I'm going to be talking about today. And so as I was thinking about who in the Bible was fruitful, well, King Solomon wrote the book of Proverbs, which is the book of wisdom, right? So when we look at his life, he had a very fruitful life. And so we are going to learn this morning from King Solomon of how he was able to live a fruitful life, but also how he was not able to live a fruitful life, and we'll journey through that in just a moment. So King Solomon, just to give you a little bit of a background, he was born from King David and Bathsheba. So David had an affair with Bathsheba. They did have a child together that died, and then King Solomon was the next child that was born. And King Solomon grew up, and there's a heritage there, there's a family heritage there, and he fulfilled God's will in building the temple that David had hoped to build the temple for God, but because of David's sin, that was actually fulfilled through King Solomon. And so here's some of the things that King Solomon was fruitful in. He built the temple for God. This temple was expensive and expansive. God gave Solomon peace with King Hiram of Lebanon, and Hiram supplied Solomon with what seemed to be an endless supply of cedar and cypress logs to help build this temple. Solomon sent 70,000 men to Lebanon who carried burdens and 80,000 who quarried stone in the mountains, as well as 3,300 from the chiefs of Solomon's deputies who supervised the people who labored in the work of building the temple. So Solomon obviously must have been very good at motivating and getting people on board and casting vision and things like that to actually get this temple built. This was a massive project. The furnishings for the temple were exquisite and very costly. Solomon had a time of getting people to donate their resources to build this temple, and the amount of money that he raised for this equated to about $100 million in today's terms. So what a productive and fruitful king he was. He had priests bring up the Ark of God, and the glory of the Lord filled the house of the Lord in the temple. On the day of dedication, Solomon offered 22,000 bulls and 120,000 sheep as peace offerings to God. King Solomon knew what it meant to be sacrificial, to give sacrificially. So Solomon's wealth greatly increased. He was extremely wealthy. In fact, there are resources that say that Solomon's income was worth over $700 million a year. $700 million. He was very, very wealthy, very, very prosperous. And we know that from the beginning there was a prayer, there was a dream that King Solomon had. And in that dream he prayed to God to ask, and he asked for wisdom. And God was very pleased that Solomon asked for wisdom. He didn't ask for the wealth. He didn't ask for prosperity. He didn't ask for material things. He asked for wisdom, and God was so pleased with that, and he blessed Solomon in that, and not only gave him incredible wisdom, it's why we have the Proverbs today, but also blessed him with wealth and prosperity. And so King Solomon was incredibly fruitful and productive. He composed 3,000 proverbs and over 1,000 songs. Crystal, would you imagine composing 1,000 songs? That's a lot of songs to write. But clearly we can see that Solomon was convicted and motivated and seeking the Lord and acted out on what God had for him and put pen to paper and wrote these things down and did these things. He was also a great judge as well, made a very wise decision with difficult circumstances too. So King Solomon had great fruitfulness, great capacity, because he was putting a strong devotional life in place. He was wholeheartedly obedient and serving God. His wisdom and decisions and productivity were great due to him choosing to ask God for wisdom at the start, choosing to apply time to writing the Proverbs, choosing to use the skills and gifts that God has given him, choosing to honour the position of being king well, and choosing to serve God well and the people well. And so this takes us to the first point, that we are free to choose. We have freedom to choose. We have a free will, and that will element means that we have that power to choose well, to choose wisely. And so we go to Proverbs, we go to what King Solomon wrote in Proverbs 16:3, where it says, "Commit your actions to the Lord and your plans will succeed. Commit your actions to the Lord and your plans will succeed." This means we are to choose to give our tasks, the things that God has put on our hearts, the things as we have sought God for what he wants to do through us, those things, everyday things, our uni assignments, our work, all of our situations and circumstances, when we commit them to the Lord, that's us saying, "We're giving this to you, God. We're committing all these things to you. We're surrendering all these things to you." And it's in an action, it's in a surrender, in a way that that, God, I acknowledge that everything comes from you. I acknowledge that I want to do your will. And as we have this attitude towards him in this way, he will make your plans succeed. He will bring you success. God will bring you success. It's God's nature for us to depend on his strength, his power at work within us, to give all that needs to be done for him, to give all that needs to be done through you, your plans, the things that you set out to do, to give over to him so that he can come in and give you the success, so that he can be given all the glory and all the honor and all the praise. We have a free will. We have freedom to choose, to decide, to make decisions. As children of God, our free will is to choose and decide to do things that align with his will, his plans, his word, his ways. And so in everything we do, God desires to put him first. To put him first, to seek his kingdom and his righteousness, to make disciples, to teach people about the word of God, to do connect together, to do relationships together, to look after the poor, to look after the widows, to tell of his good news of Jesus to people who don't know him, to pray to God for his will to be done in our life. Proverbs 16 verse 9 says, we can make our plans, but the Lord determines our steps. We can make our plans, but the Lord determines our steps. As we make our plans, as we make these decisions and commit them to God, he determines our steps. He directs our paths. He leads us on the right path, which brings success. And I love how we have a God that is sovereign, that leads us. He's our shepherd. He guides us. We commit our plans to him and he is leading and guiding and taking us on the right path. He's keeping us safe and secure in his arms and in his ways. What a beautiful God we have who loves us this way, who cares for us and protects us and takes us on the right path as we put him first, as we commit our plans to him. He leads us on the right path. So what plans do you have? What tasks have you set your mind to accomplish? Are these things pleasing to God? Do your plans align with seeking his kingdom first? Or are they self-centered? The dreams that you have in your heart, the plans that you have in your heart that God has given you, he wants to bring success to you. And so I want to ask you this morning, are there plans that you have that God wants you to step out in faith and go, I'm going to do this. I'm going to step out in faith and take action, commit this to you, and just allow God to come in and bring success and favor and blessing. So we are to choose to serve God first. If you are serving someone or something else, your life will be meaningless and pointless. Choose God, serve him, put him first in your life. Not only is that the best starting place for a fruitful life, it's the starting place for living a blessed, abundant, joyful, and peaceful life. I love the scripture in Joshua 24:15 that says, but if you refuse to serve the Lord, then choose today whom you will serve. Would you prefer the gods your ancestors served beyond the Euphrates? Or will it be the gods of the Amorites in whose land you now live? But as for me and my family, we will serve the Lord. As for me and my family, we will serve the Lord. Let's serve the Lord together. And as we serve God, as we choose God first in decisions that we make, choosing wisely in the small decisions, we develop good habits that bring a brilliant future. There are decisions that people need to make today that are going to have incredible positive consequences for your future. And it's in these small decisions. It can be something as simple as, I'm going to spend 15 minutes really studying one verse of scripture each day, or memorizing one scripture a week. These small habits that we can decide to do, that we can have the freedom to choose, our free will to choose, these decisions that we make now create these good habits that reap such an incredible fruitfulness for our future. Earlier this year, one of my roles is to be a chairperson of Port Care. I know Tanya's here. She volunteers at Port Care a lot. And so Port Care is our charity, our op shop for the ministry at C3 Fremantle. It has an op shop and supermarket. We give out emergency relief to people, all sorts of things that we want to do there. And so part of my role and responsibility with Port Care is I've been praying. Just praying, Lord, speak to us. Speak to us about what's next. You know, I want to hear from you. What's your vision? And Pastor Charlie, the same thing. We've been praying together and bouncing ideas off of each other. And so out of this act of seeking the Lord for his vision for this ministry, I really sensed and felt that we're meeting so many needs here in the community. And God wants us to take us to the next level of actually equipping and helping people to come out of their dysfunction and out of their long-term unemployment and out of these situations that God wants us to equip them. And so this idea of having different groups that equip people in practical ways, doing a budget course, doing cooking, doing healthy, positive mental health psychology, we've just all these ideas that were coming to mind, and I was speaking to a woman about this. And you know, as we have these conversations, as we speak what God is speaking to us, he will just bring people into our world that will go, yeah, that's what I'm thinking as well. And this woman, Angela, she's so passionate about the community. She's so equipped in this area, and she's now going to be coordinating different groups for next year, and we're just starting new things and so excited for what God's going to do through this, through his vision. It's not my vision, it's his vision that he brought forth as I sought him. And then he spoke to other people as well about it. And can you see, I can already see that there's going to be much fruitfulness from doing this. I can see that people's lives are going to be changed forever. We're seeing this so much when Pastor Charlie had the vision of the Friday community lunch. Now that has been going for a few years now. And his prayer was that people would come into the church, people would have salvation. This year we are seeing more and more people come into church and have salvation. He had the vision, and God is bringing much fruit, so fruitful. So Galatians 5:13, for you have been called to live in freedom, my brothers and sisters, but don't use your freedom to satisfy your sinful nature. Instead, use your freedom to serve one another in love. Freely choose him, freely choose to love him and each other. And the Holy Spirit helps us to do this, helps us to love, helps us to not sin. I'm going to read a passage of scripture that's a little bit long, so just stay with me. Stay with me. It ends really well. This is about the Holy Spirit and how Holy Spirit leads us and guides us as well. Galatians 5:16-23. So I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. Then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. The sinful nature wants to do evil, which is just the opposite of what the Spirit wants. And the Spirit gives us desires that are the opposite of what the sinful nature desires. These two forces are constantly fighting each other, so you are not free to carry out your good intentions. But when you are directed by the Spirit, you are not under obligation to the law of Moses. When you follow the desires of your sinful nature, the results are very clear. This list is quite incredible. Sexual immorality, impurity, lustful pleasures, idolatry, sorcery, hostility, quarreling, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambition, dissension, division, envy, drunkenness, wild parties, and other sins like these. Let me tell you again, as I have before, that anyone living that sort of life will not inherit the kingdom of God. But, I love the buts. But the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against these things. As we allow Holy Spirit to guide our lives, to guide our hearts, that we will produce this type of fruit. The love, the joy, the peace, the patience, the kindness, the goodness, the faithfulness, the gentleness, and the self-control. This is a life of freedom when we are guided by Holy Spirit. So we're free to choose wisely. As we allow Holy Spirit to guide us, as we center ourselves on Him, that we will bear much fruit in our character and also in everything that we do. And so King Solomon, we know that he you know, had much fruit. He was very fruitful, very productive. But he also had a weakness. And I think this is a family heritage as well. David had the same sort of weakness. And there must have been at some point that Solomon made a little decision that was not the right decision that led him eventually to turn his heart away from God. That his weakness of women and enjoying women, I guess, led him to turn his heart away from God. That he just did not remain humble in what everything that God had given him. That all his wealth, all his prosperity, all his incredible things that God had given him, that he didn't remain grateful and appreciative and giving God the glory for all those things, pride would have started to seep in. And so we see that Solomon didn't guard his heart or his mind, and this was his downfall, that he just allowed gradually. And I think that's the thing that we can really take from King Solomon, that we can think that we are, you know, we won't ever turn our hearts away from God, but it's in the little decisions that we need to be careful with. We need to keep making good, wise decisions. And the next thing that I want to bring to you is we need to guard our heart. We need to keep all those things that are good for us, the word, prayer, church, fellowship, all these good things. We need to keep them in our heart. And we need to protect our heart from those things that are not good from us. We need to keep those things that are not good out. So if you are keeping bad company to the point where that bad company is now affecting your heart, your heart will be corrupt as well. We need to be really careful to guard our heart. And we need, I'm not saying that we don't need to be around other people that are, you know, don't know Jesus or anything like that. It's just that awareness that we need to guard our heart and keep our heart protected from things that might come in, that might creep in. It could be that little voice that says, it's all right, don't worry about, you know, making this little lie or doing this little sin. It'll be okay. It's just a little thing. It's not. That's the enemy that can creep in and bring temptation and make you go down that path of choosing unwise decisions on a gradual basis. So guard your heart. Guard your heart. Proverbs 4:23. Solomon knew it. Guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life. And guard your mind as well. Guard your thoughts. Focus on what is good. Philippians 4, verses 4 to 9. The word says, always be full of joy in the Lord. I say it again, rejoice. Let everyone see that you are considerate in all you do. Remember, the Lord is coming soon. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. And now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. Fix your thoughts on what is true and honourable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. Keep putting into practice all you learned and received from me, everything you heard from me and saw me doing, then the God of peace will be with you. You see, as we guard our heart and we guard our mind, again, we've got that freedom to choose what we think. Freedom to choose what we think. We have the power over our mind with what we think. And so there are things that can be in our head, things like procrastination, worry, fear, thinking the worst, catastrophizing, thinking black and white, all or nothing, overgeneralizing, saying nothing ever good happens to me. Everything is just not good. You might be thinking in a way where you only see your inadequacies or your failures and you disqualify all the good things. You might jump to conclusions. You might think that someone's thinking something about you when they're not at all. You might have a type of thinking where you say to yourself, I should do this, or I should have done that, or I should have not said that, or I should have said this. Being so critical of yourself or labelling yourself, saying things like, you know, I'm an idiot or I'm stupid or, oh my goodness. Blaming yourself for things that were not your responsibility. All these types of thinking are very unhelpful for us, and we actually have the ability to see this, to recognise it and go, I have the freedom to choose to think differently. You do have the freedom to choose to think differently. And every time you go to the Word of God and you say, I'm going to think about the things that are true. I am a child of God. I am fearfully and wonderfully made. I have a God that is for me. I have a God that wants to bring success to me. I have a God who comforts me and loves me when things get messed up. I have a God that forgives me. I'm going to think about those things that are true. I'm going to think about those things that are right and pure and lovely and admirable and honourable. And when we start practicing thinking in these types of ways, we're not only renewing our mind and our brain rewires and grows new pathways and is transformed and all of that sort of stuff. We're actually transforming and renewing our minds to the mind of Christ in that process. And so church, we have the freedom and the power to choose him, to choose his will and to choose what we think. And when you can, you know, when you catch yourself thinking in ways that are not good for you, just catch it and go, you know what? I'm choosing to think differently. I'm not going to think that thought about myself because it's not true. I'm not an idiot. I'm not stupid. God says I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. I'm made in his image. I'm going to think about that. And he will rewire your brain. So productive output, fruitful output. Be fruitful and multiply. We cannot be productive when we are lacking, if we are malnourished spiritually, emotionally, physically, or mentally. Our output, our productivity will be good when we have chosen wisely daily habits to keep us filled on all these levels. Now productivity and fruitfulness, a few years ago I was thinking about, you know, over the years, just how how God has been able to increase my capacity, but also how I got to a point where I was working way too many hours. I was working 12-hour days, counselling people. There were no breaks in between. It was back to back. And this was over a period of a year or so. I was also working for the church, so two jobs, family, four children. I was studying at the time before that, so I had finished those studies. That's right, I remember. See, there's so much of a blur because I was too busy. But I do remember that time where I was working those many long hours without breaks and working with people from complex trauma. So this is not light counselling work. This is very heavy and requires a lot of mental energy and emotional energy that I'm expending to these people. And so every minute that I had, I would be praying. As I'm going to work, I'm praying. As I'm, in the sessions, I'm praying. When I'm going home, I'm praying. I thought that was the only way that I could actually sustain that for a short period of time until my emotional energy was completely depleted, absolutely rock bottom. And I couldn't go to work one day, and I called my manager and she said, "What are you doing? You need to lock in retreats. You need to lock in days where you just go away with the Lord. We are changing your work hours. You are having 15-minute breaks in between sessions for the clients that you still have now. You need to have food on the table so you can eat while you're seeing people." And so it was a really good lesson to learn that we may be able to function somewhat and be productive and fruitful to a degree when we are lacking in different areas, but it's not sustainable and it's not what God wants for us. He wants us to be filled emotionally, to be filled physically, to be filled spiritually, to have a sound mind, a healthy mind. All these things are so important to God that we have so that we can bear much fruit, so that we remain healthy and whole and can serve Him and be fruitful long term. John 15 verse 5, "Yes, I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who remain in me and I in them will produce much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing." Jesus says that we need to remain connected to Him. He is our source. He is our source for everything. This analogy of a vine, of Christ being the vine, of Him being the source of our fruitfulness or our productivity, if you like, is us staying so close to Him, is us staying in communion with Him, in relationship with Him. And we will bear much fruit. It's not going to be a little crop of grapes on a grapevine. It's going to be a lot of fruit. As we stay close to Him, as we are really just enjoying His presence and staying close to God, that He will bear much fruit through us. Much fruit. Philippians 2:13, "For God is working in you, giving you the desire and the power to do what pleases Him." Right now, God is working in you. He's giving you the desire and the power to do what pleases Him. God leads us to will and to do. God is working in us, and we respond to His working in us. We are working out our salvation. He is working in our hearts to obey Him, to persevere, to be and to do and to act for His good pleasure. His power, His resurrection power, and His desire is how God is working in you. He softens our hearts. He speaks to us. He's always working. He's always active. He's so interested in every detail of your life, and He so longs for you to just know Him more, to know His will, to be in communion with Him, to really just enjoy Him and to act according to His plan that He has for you. He is working every second, all the time. He's working in you. He's working on your heart. by his power, the power of the Holy Spirit. And so the last point I want to bring to you today is about capacity. Capacity. Your capacity increases with putting good things into every area of your life. Your buoyancy, your resilience, your ability to bounce back from hard things is better. You become more aware of your capacity and what you need. Your fruitfulness increases with input from the Lord. And God gives you the grace for each stage of life that you're at. God gives you the grace. God gives you the grace for being at school, for all the things that you need to do. God gives you the grace for when you're studying, for the things that you need to accomplish. God gives you the grace for every stage of life that you're at. He gives you the grace and he gives you the capacity. He gives you the capacity. And I have seen that over the years, going from being single as a student, then to marrying, then to going from one child to two child to three child. God, I need more grace. I need more grace. Now that we've hit number three, that's a whole nother level. He gives grace for then working full time. He gives grace for you to have the capacity to do all the things that he's called you to do. God is your source. God is your source. So some practical, I just want to be really practical with you this morning in how you can be fruitful and how God just wants to have you live such an incredible life of fruitfulness and success. And so these things, they're not exclusive, it's not an exclusive list, but it certainly will help you. And so firstly, choose to put God first. Put your decisions before him. Give your tasks over to him and he will bring you success. Guard your heart, guard your mind. Put and keep good things in your mind and heart and keep out those things that are unhelpful. Spend time each day in his presence. Oh my goodness, spend time in his presence each day. Spend time in his word each day. Eat well. I could very easily just live on chocolate and chips and good wine, but that would not do me well long term. Eat well. Move well. Sleep well. Sleep is so important. God recreated the Sabbath so that we would have rest. And so we need to have good sleep each day. We also need to practice the Sabbath, practice having a day of rest each week. We need to have retreats throughout the year. We need to have holidays. I'm so pleased that Steve and Jen went on a fantastic holiday recently and they've come back just so refreshed. It's good to have holidays. It's healthy. Have times of fun and play. It's really important to have fun and be playful. Be creative. We had a family holiday in Kalbarri and we didn't shower for a whole week and we just had campfires and games and hikes and we just played. We just had fun. Didn't take ourselves too seriously. Know what you need to fill your soul, your mind and your heart on a daily, weekly, monthly and yearly basis. That will be different for each person. I love people. I love people so much. I love that I get to do this job that I do and to pastor people. Absolutely. It's the best job in the whole world. I love it. I love it. But my personality type is that I can only handle, you know, a certain amount of being around people. And then I get to a point where I just want to be by myself. Everybody out, leave me alone, kids go away, mum's having her time by herself to replenish my soul. I know that I need those times to replenish my soul, to replenish my emotional energy so that I can go out and love people again and do what God has called me to do. And so we need to know what things fill our mind and our soul and our body and our heart, which will be different for different people. Church, can you stand with me this morning? And I just want you to lift your hands to the Lord and close your eyes if you would like. And just allow His presence to soak in His presence. Open your hearts and your mind to Holy Spirit and what Holy Spirit wants to do right now in you today, this morning. I started the message this morning about the freedom that we have to choose wisely and the freedom that we have to choose Him. And I want to give this opportunity for those people here this morning who need to choose Jesus this morning, who need to choose God this morning for the first time. That you've heard the Word of God, that you know the Holy Spirit is prompting your heart and your mind to choose Jesus, to choose Him, to put Him first today. And that there are people here today where you have known Jesus and God is just wanting you to come back and make a fresh decision today, a fresh wise decision to choose Him, to choose to come back to Him, to start afresh, to start anew. Church, can you pray with me together this morning? Dear Lord Jesus, I thank you that you died for me and you rose again. I'm sorry that I have not walked with you. Today I choose you. I choose you to be Lord of my life. I receive your forgiveness. Come into my heart today. I will follow you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name. Amen. With every head bowed and eyes closed, for those people who have made that decision for the first time, for those people who have made that decision for a second time or a third time or a time that you are coming back and declaring that He is Lord of your life today, the Word says to openly declare that you have chosen Him. And so for those people who have made that decision today, just put your hand up, I will see it, and put it down again. This is between you and God. It's also a public declaration of faith to raise your hand so that I can see and put it down again. Who needs to make that decision today? Just be bold. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father God. Lord, we lift our hands to you today. We raise our hands to you today and we thank you for the freedom that you have given us to choose you, to make wise decisions. We thank you for the power that is working in us to act and be fruitful, to bear much fruit as we stay so connected to you, so close to you. We thank you that you are our God. We thank you that you are our strength. Father God, I pray for your people today. I pray that you would renew their strength, renew their spiritual and physical and emotional strength today. Oh Lord God, by the power of your Holy Spirit, I just pray that into your people today. Pour refreshing, renewal. Holy Spirit, come. Bless each person today. Bless each person today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. What a wonderful church you are. We're going to praise God one more time.